Hello, this is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader Joanne Lowney with today's Wall Street Journal. Business headlines for today. Prada continues to ride Moomoo boom as sales climb. Newell Brands says tariffs can benefit business while certain levies may dent 2025 results. Yum Brands posts higher profit revenue amid complex environment. UBS profit tops forecasts, but sees unpredictable path ahead. Caterpillar profit slips on lower sales. Amazon rules out displaying tariff impact after White House attack. Retailers warn absence of tariff price hikes won't last. Adidas confirms guidance but warns of potential hit from U.S. tariffs. Porsche slashes guidance as tariff hit adds to mounting challenges. AB Foods shares drop after profitability warning for sugar business. Everyone is tipping less. See how you compare. Chicago hot dog eatery Portillo's slims down menus to expand nationally. The first article I'll read today is Prada continues to ride Moomoo boom as sales climb. Retail sales at Moomoo jumped 60% in the quarter, by Adria Cataliud. Prada reported higher revenue for the first quarter as its Moomoo brand continued to benefit from booming sales, helping the Italian luxury group escape a spending downturn that is haunting the sector. Luxury companies are bracing for the impact of U.S. tariffs at a time the sector is already dealing with subdued demand in key markets, such as China, long a growth engine for high-end brands. Surging demand for Moomoo products allowed Prada to buck the trend in recent quarters, and the company is now in the process of adding a third big brand to its staples after its recent deal to buy Versace. Prada said Wednesday that revenue for the first quarter was 1.34 billion euros, up from 1.19 billion in the same period last year. Quarterly revenue grew 13% when adjusted for currency movements. Analysts had forecast Prada's revenue at 1.33 billion euros according to consensus estimates provided by Visible Alpha. Retail sales at Moomoo jumped 60% in the quarter. Sales at the Prada brand were flat compared with the prior year period when it had a strong result, the company said. Prada said the group achieved double-digit growth in retail sales across all regions, including 10% increases in both Asia-Pacific and the Americas. Most luxury groups have been grappling with weaker demand in China amid a downturn in the country's property sector, and some companies flagged more than challenging conditions in the U.S. at the start of the year. LVMH, the world's biggest luxury conglomerate and owner of brands including Louis Vuitton and Dior, earlier this month published a quarterly update that was weaker than analysts anticipated, with declines in the U.S. and in the region that includes China. Gucci owner Kering also reported lower sales, but other companies such as Hermes and Brunello delivered higher revenue. In a research note ahead of the update, analyst J.P. Morgan said Prada and Cartier owner Richemont were likely to stand out this earnings season due to their brand momentum, pricing power, and ability to navigate uncertainty. U.S. economy contracts at 0.3% rate in the first quarter. The reading fell short of the 0.4% growth that economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal expected. Harriet Torrey. The U.S. economy contracted in the first 3 months of 2025 as businesses rushed to stock up on imports ahead of tariffs and consumers ease their pace of spending. Commerce Department said U.S. gross domestic product, the value of all goods and services produced across the economy, fell at a seasonally and inflation-adjusted 0.3% annual rate the first quarter. That was the steepest decline since the first quarter of 2022. The reading fell short of the 0.4% growth that economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal expected. The decline at GDP in the first quarter reflected front-running ahead of tariffs that began to come into effect during the first 3 months of the year and were dramatically increased in the current second quarter. Imports rose at 41.3% pace. Exports rose more slowly at a 1.8% pace in the first quarter. Stock futures, which were negative before the report, fell further after the GDP release. The GDP report is the first major economic scorecard for the January to March quarter, a period in which the White House changed hands from President Joe Biden to President Trump. January, most of which was before Trump took office, was hit by wildfires in Los Angeles and disruptive winter storms in many parts of the country. A logistical consideration makes Wednesday's report difficult to interpret. Imports subtract from the Commerce Department's calculation of GDP, since they represent spending on foreign-made goods and services. A measure of consumer and business spending that gauges underlying demand in the economy, final sales to private domestic purchasers, rose at 3% annual rate. Consumer spending rose at a 1.8% annual rate, slowing abruptly from 4% in the final quarter of 2024. Consumers drive the U.S. economy. Business spending on software, research and development, equipment and structures rose at a 9.8% annual rate. The new Trump administration quickly announced levies on Mexico and Canada, which it later paused, as well as tariffs on Chinese imports. The Liberation Day announcement for far broader tariffs came on April 2nd, at the beginning of the second quarter. President Trump has made tariffs a cornerstone of his economic agenda, saying that they will be in the long term make America richer and bring back manufacturing jobs. In March, the trade deficit in goods hit a record as businesses stocked up to get ahead of tariffs. The U.S. economy entered the year on a strong footing. It grew at a steady pace in 2024, and inflation continued to ease. The unemployment rate held at 4.1%, and employers added 456,000 new jobs in the first quarter, down from 628,000 in the final quarter of 2024. Still, businesses and individuals are saying they're worried about the economy due to uncertainty around tariffs and worries that they will bring higher prices. Investors also took fright. Concerns about tariffs and the economy sent the S&P 500 and NASDAQ composite to their worst quarters since 2022. The CEOs of major companies, including American Airlines, PepsiCo, and Procter & Gamble, have warned that stop-start tariff announcements are complicating their planning efforts and spooking consumers. Others are slashing costs. General Motors pulled its 2025 profit guidance Tuesday, citing auto tariffs. Uncertainty creates a pensive and anxious consumer, Colgate-Palmolive chief executive Noel Wallace said last week when the company lowered its full-year earnings estimate. You see consumers destock their pantries and not necessarily buy that extra toothpaste tube or that extra body wash. Fears of tariff-induced price increases prompted some consumers to accelerate purchases to get ahead of increased costs. Vehicle sales, for example, jumped in March. But even that isn't necessarily good news for sellers. Those who can are buying ahead of tariffs. That means you're borrowing demand from the future, said KPMG's chief economist Diane Swonk. Such panic purchases also suppress growth, she noted. Imports count as a subtraction when the GDP is calculated. The potential for pickup in inflation from tariffs, combined with weaker economic momentum, puts the Federal Reserve in a bind. The central bank seeks to balance dual goals of keeping inflation mild and the labor market strong. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said in mid-April He saw a strong likelihood that consumers would face higher prices and that the economy would see higher unemployment as a result of tariffs in the short term. This would create a challenging scenario for the central bank, because anything it does with interest rates to address inflationary pressures could worsen unemployment, and vice versa, he said. Write to Harriet Torrey at harriet.torrey@wsj.com. China's export orders plunge, hit by Trump's trade war. Steep U.S. tariffs are starting to squeeze Chinese economy. By Jason Douglas. China's economy showed its first big signs of damage from the trade war, as steep U.S. tariffs pummeled export orders and production at the country's factories. A gauge of new export orders fell in April to its lowest reading since COVID-19 was ravaging the country in 2022, while overall manufacturing activity in China was the weakest in more than a year, according to surveys published Wednesday by China's National Bureau of Statistics. The sharp pullback shows President Trump's eye-watering tariffs on Chinese imports are starting to squeeze the engine room of China's economy, piling pressure on Beijing's to boost its stimulus efforts to shore up growth. It also adds on to pressure on leader Xi Jinping to reach a deal on trade with Trump. Though for now, the clear message from Beijing is one of resolute defiance in the teeth of what it describes as U.S. bullying. China's official purchasing managers index for the manufacturing sector, a closely watched gauge of activity in China's factories, came in at 49 in April, down sharply from the 50.5 reading recorded in March. A reading of 50 or above indicates factory activity is expanding, while below 50 points to a contraction. April's reading was the weakest since December of 2023. A similar measure of new export orders plunged even more steeply, sinking to 44.7 in April, the lowest reading since December of 2022. An early sign that trade between U.S. and China is in danger of drying up as American importers cancel or delay orders after a rush to bring in goods earlier this year before tariffs came into effect. Trump, in his second term, has hit Chinese imports with tariffs of 145% as part of a much broader assault aimed at rewiring U.S. trade with the world. Trump accuses American trading partners of blocking U.S. exports and treating the U.S. unfairly. In early April, he unveiled planned tariff increases on allies and adversaries alike, later pausing their implementation for 90 days to give countries a shot at negotiating more favorable trade terms. He has levied tariffs on steel, aluminum, and cars, and has promised to do the same in pharmaceuticals and semiconductors. His overarching goals are to shrink the U.S.'s yawning trade deficit and prod companies to bring jobs in manufacturing back to America, though many economists are skeptical tariffs are the right tool to accomplish either. Chinese imports were singled out for especially high tariffs, reflecting U.S. discomfort over Beijing's industrial clout and growing geopolitical heft. China was exempted from the 90-day tariff pause, and Washington has signaled that it wants other countries to limit trade with China as part of any deal over access to the U.S. market. China has responded by raising tariffs of its own on U.S. imports to more than 100%, targeting U.S. companies operating in China, and restricting export of critical minerals used in batteries and other high-tech applications. Xi has signaled that Beijing is prepared for a long battle over trade. In a social media post earlier this week, the Chinese government urged other countries not to submit to U.S. pressure and said China will never kneel down before Washington. Still, Wednesday's data shows that an unyielding strategy will have short-term costs for China's economy, which last year relied on exports for about a third of its growth. Goldman Sachs estimates that between 10 million and 20 million manufacturing jobs in China depend on U.S. purchases. Beijing has pledged to boost government borrowing and spending and lift consumption to offset the drag on its economy from a plunge in trade. Even so, economists have slashed their forecasts for Chinese growth this year. Capital Economics said Tuesday that the economy was likely weaker in the first quarter than official growth figures suggested, and said it expects the economy to expand just 3.5% in 2025, well short of Beijing's target of around 5%. The consulting firm said the survey data might overstate the scale of the pullback in manufacturing, since they reflect respondents' sentiments over trade and not just real activity. But nonetheless, they still suggest that China's economy is coming under pressure. Excluding the disruptions around COVID-19, Capital Economics said April's new export orders reading was the worst since 2012. The International Monetary Fund last week warned global growth would suffer as the trade war rocks commerce and investment. In Asia, April figures from South Korea and Japan suggest exports from those countries are weakening, while shipping data suggests cargo shipments between the U.S. and China are collapsing. It isn't clear if the U.S. and China can reach a deal on trade to ease tensions and revive cross-border commerce, albeit likely at a reduced level. The White House is open to lowering tariffs on Chinese imports to de-escalate the trade war, the Wall Street Journal has reported. Washington has exempted smartphones and other consumer electronics from tariffs, while Beijing has waived duties on U.S.-made semiconductor equipment and aviation parts. Yet substantive talks on trade between Washington and Beijing don't appear to be happening. Write to Jason Douglas at jason.douglas@wsj.com. Amazon rules out displaying tariff impact after White House attack. Administration had said breaking out import charges would be a hostile and political act. By Sebastian Herrera. Amazon.com was forced to play down a report that it was considering displaying the impact of tariffs during its online checkout process after President Trump called company founder Jeff Bezos and the White House said such a move would be a hostile and political act. The e-commerce giant said Tuesday it had considered displaying how much import charges would increase prices on its ultra-cheap shopping website Haul, but said the idea was never approved and is not going to happen. Amazon also said it hadn't considered the idea for the main Amazon site, and no changes had been implemented on any Amazon properties. Yet the company's response was too late to avoid White House involvement. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt sent company shares down in early morning trading by commenting on a Punch Bowl news report that Amazon was planning to display the impact of tariffs during its online checkout process. "This is a hostile and political act by Amazon," Leavitt had told reporters. "Why didn't Amazon do this when the Biden administration hiked inflation to the highest level in 40 years? Trump called Bezos to raise concerns, according to people familiar with the matter. Later, Trump praised Bezos. "Jeff Bezos is very nice," Trump said before heading to Michigan for a rally. "Terrific. He solved the problem very quickly." The president added, "I appreciated what he did." Amazon declined to comment on the phone call between Trump and Bezos. Company shares finished the day down 0.17%. The company considered displaying import charges ahead of the Trump administration's planned change starting May 2nd to a popular tariff exemption known as de minimis for small shipments from China, according to a person familiar with the matter. The exemption had allowed small shipments from outside the U.S. to avoid duties and customs inspections. Many items from Amazon's Haul site have used the exemption. Bargain sellers Temu and Shein also benefited from the exemption, which helped them keep down prices on clothing and other goods shipped directly from China and became formidable competitors to Amazon in the U.S. Temu had become some of the most downloaded shopping apps in America and had spent billions of dollars on advertising. Amazon launched Haul late last year as a response to the competition. The Haul website can be accessed through a link from Amazon's main website. The service has sold clothing, household goods, and accessories from warehouses in China for prices often less than 10%, $10. The sites are especially vulnerable to the end of the de minimis exemption, but e-commerce sites generally have been bracing for impact from the Trump administration's tariff because many offerings are made overseas, including China. Most of the Amazon sites come from independent sellers on this site. Most of the Amazon sales come from independent sellers on this site, with a large percentage of them selling items from China. Amazon, which reports its first quarter earnings on Thursday, has been trying, like rivals Walmart and Target, to keep prices low in the face of tariffs on China. The firms have been pressuring their suppliers to absorb cost increases and dropping free perks from corporate offices while pausing some shipments of goods from China. Amazon canceled some vendor orders from China after tariffs were announced. It has also asked some vendors it purchases products from directly to send an email confirming their advertisement commitments for this year. The tech giant has cost support agreements in place with some vendors to ensure that it makes consistent margins on the products it buys from them and sells to consumers, according to consultants who work with Amazon vendors. Some vendors have tried to charge Amazon more after tariffs were imposed, have been asked to pay the online shopping giant to make up for the increase. A lot of vendor negotiations are happening right now, so Amazon has a position of leverage, said Corey Thomas, an Amazon consultant. Closing negotiations will be even harder. Write to Sebastian Herrera at sebastian.herrera, that's H-E-R-R-E-R-A, at WSJ.com. Retail giants manage to keep a lid on prices but warn it can't last. Prices have largely held steady overall, aside from modest April increases in some categories, a WSJ analyst finds. By Sarah Nausauer, Shane Shiflett, and Sebastian Herrera. To keep prices low on phone chargers, towels, and blenders in the face of rising tariffs, America's largest retailers are trying everything. They are pressuring their suppliers to absorb cost increases and dropping free perks from corporate offices. They have paused some shipments of goods from China and are leaning on inventory that has already been imported to the U.S. So far, most prices have held steady overall. The average price of some 10,000 everyday household products sold online by Walmart, Target, and Amazon is effectively flat since April 2nd, according to Wall Street Journal analysts of data harvested by e-commerce data from Target. Prices at the retailers are generally down since January, the data show. But the chief executives of Walmart, Target, and Home Depot met with President Trump last week with a strong message: the status quo can't last forever. They warned Trump that higher prices would be difficult to avoid and said certain products could become scarce if retailers decide not to sell them to avoid tariff costs. They also assured the president that they would work to keep product prices as low as possible for as long as possible, according to people familiar with the meeting. Their success so far has come in part because of efforts retailers and their suppliers took to import more items ahead of some tariff increases. Midwest Trading Group and TYLT, a seller of small consumer electronics to retailers, recently pulled forward imports from Vietnam to fulfill expected 2025 orders from clients such as CVS, said CEO Steve Adolph. That is because earlier this month, Trump announced a 90-day pause on so-called reciprocal tariffs that would affect Vietnamese imports. The early purchases have added upfront costs, but the company thinks Items such as phone charging cords and small speakers will be in demand at existing prices. Adolf said, the arrangement is favorable to retailers who don't have to hold the inventory or pay up front. Walmart, Amazon, and Target have also asked their suppliers to shoulder more of the tariff cost burden. But that tactic can't make up for the full additional cost of tariffs, especially in China, say manufacturers and retailers. At Amazon, independent merchants make up more than 60% of its sales, with a large percentage of goods coming from China. Amazon has algorithms in place that penalize sellers if they raise their costs too much or sell something above the price found elsewhere. Some sellers have tested raising prices by as much as 30% to see how much of an increase they can make before Amazon systems will downgrade their listings, according to Brendan Farum, an Amazon merchant who sells kitchen products. When that occurs, they lower their prices, he said. Many sellers have tested smaller increments of about 5%, he said. Prices for some household goods rose by small increments in April, including items costing $50 or less, as well as for chargers, Bluetooth speakers, and other electronics from certain brands, the journal's analyst shows. Broadly, prices for consumer goods have yet to increase. Furman said many tariff-affected shipments haven't come through the ports. Walmart is doing what it can to keep prices low, including problem-solving with suppliers, said a Walmart spokeswoman. It's not us versus them, she said, and a lot is in flux. There will be cases where prices have to go up, she said. Amazon said it hasn't seen average selling prices of products change considerably. Target declined to comment. The Trump administration says it plans to negotiate with many countries regarding tariff policy, including over so-called reciprocal tariffs announced earlier this month. It paused the implementation of some of those tariffs on countries such as Vietnam until July. New tariffs on some commodities, such as steel and aluminum, are already in place. Current tariffs on Chinese goods are around 145%, but the administration has signaled it is looking to strike a deal with Beijing to scale back those duties. Walmart has paused some of winter holiday orders from Chinese manufacturers, according to people familiar with the situation. Earlier this month, Target paused shipment of goods that it buys directly from manufacturers in China, according to people who are aware of its shipments. The pause has brought them time. Amazon canceled some vendor orders from China after tariffs were announced. The journal's analysts shows the percentage of in-stock items dropped by about 4 percentage points after Trump's tariffs against Canada and Mexico went into effect in early March. Inventories didn't bounce back after those tariffs were paused a couple of days later. The number of ships sailing from China to the U.S. filled with goods is plunging amid cancellations, according to firms that track shipments and U.S. port officials. Some cost-cutting measures are in full effect. Last week, Walmart told staff in its Hoboken, New Jersey office that free plates, bowls, and cups would no longer be available in the office, according to people familiar with the situation. A memo sent to staff encouraged employees to bring their own. Retailers also plan to lean on their non-product businesses to delay the need to increase prices. Amazon asked some vendors to purchase products directly to send an email confirming their advertisement commitments for this year, according to consultant Martin Hubel, who works with suppliers. Amazon made around $56 billion in an advertising revenue in 2024, mostly from sellers who place ads on its website. Last fall, Walmart asked many suppliers to increase their advertising spending with the retailer by around 25% this year, compared with the previous year, according to people familiar with the situation. The negotiations were part of Walmart's annual ad spending discussions, and suppliers were asked for a range of percentage increases, said a Walmart spokeswoman. Walmart's ad sales grew about 27% last year to $4.4 billion. There's no doubt that advertising will be a lever that major retailers will lean on to manage tariffs, said Jordan Burke, chief executive of consulting firm Tomorrow and a former Walmart executive. Write to Sarah Nassauer at sarah.nassauer@wsj.com, Shane Shifflett at shane.shifflett@dowjones.com, and Sebastian Herrera at sebastian.herrera@wsj.com. This is your volunteer broadcaster, Joanne Lowney. If you miss any part of this program, you can get it on demand on our website, sunsounds.org, then click on our broadcast info and audio. You can take Sun Sounds with you, get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones, and you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now back to the next article. Coca-Cola sales dented by Hispanic boycott, lower demand. Social media misinformation affected results, but CEO says company can weather the tariffs, by Laura Cooper and Danny Jacob. Coca-Cola says that it can manage the effects of tariffs, but the lower sales to Hispanic consumers dented its sales in the U.S. and other markets, including Mexico. The beverage company posted a 3% volume drop in North America as Coca-Cola carbonated soft drinks volume declined in the latest 8 weeks, according to an analyst reported from RBC Capital Markets. Sales in Latin America, a blockbuster market for Coke, were flat this quarter because of declines in places such as Mexico and Chile. While several analysts call Coke's quarter a solid start to the year, some market softness stemmed from a pullback by Hispanic consumers who might have been influenced by a social media campaign against Coca-Cola. A video circulating online purported to show that the company called on Immigration and Customs Enforcement to help remove undocumented workers, which a company spokesman said is unequivocally false. To the false video, I think that's largely in the rearview mirror in terms of its virality and affecting the business, Chief Executive James Quincy told analysts and investors on Tuesday. It wasn't the first piece of misinformation or disinformation or anything else nefarious about the Coca-Cola brand, and I'm sure it won't be the last, but we're very focused on recovering from it. Coke Chief Financial Officer John Murphy said in an interview that there was weakening with Hispanic consumers at the end of the most recent quarter. Affordability issues throughout the company's customer base also hurt sales, he said. To win back customers, Coca-Cola is focusing on local economic impact and being affordable through promotional pricing, Quincy said. At the same time, the company kept its 2025 forecast and said it expects to be able to deal with tariff effects. Coca-Cola produces and bottles its sodas locally. We have seen both tailwinds and headwinds associated with being an American company, Murphy said. It's something we feel that we've got a good playbook and have a lot of good practices across our markets to emphasize the localness. Quincy said Coke isn't immune to tariffs, but the CEO added that the company will stick to its current pricing plans. Tariffs could affect orange juice and some equipment that the company might need to buy, but the impact would be small, he said. Analysts said Coke had a solid start to the year, with strong organic revenue growth. The company reiterated its 2025 guidance, a win, as many other companies are making downward revisions amid continued uncertainty. Shares of Coca-Cola were largely flat in midday trading on Tuesday. Coca-Cola logged net income of $3.33 billion, or 77 cents a share for the first quarter ended March 28th, up from $3.18 billion or 74 cents a share a year earlier. Stripping out certain one-time items, earnings came in at 73 cents a share. Revenue fell 2% to $11.13 billion from $11.3 billion. Coca-Cola attributed the top-line decline to currency headwinds and the effect of refranchising bottling operations. The company also made gains in non-alcoholic ready-to-drink beverages. As traditional soda sales have gone flat, Coca-Cola and rival PepsiCo have jumped into the market, dominated by prebiotic soda brands with their own creations. Coke in February said it would launch a soda promoting digestive health called Simply Pop, while Pepsi in March acquired a prebiotic soda brand, Poppy, for $1.95 billion. Write to Laura Cooper at laura.cooper@wsj.com and Denny Jacob at denny.jacob@wsj.com. Eurozone economy picks up pace ahead of tariff disruption. A weakening of U.S. demand for Eurozone goods from the start of April is expected to hamper growth during the rest of the year. By Ed Frankel. The Eurozone economy grew at a faster pace in the first 3 months of the year, aided by U.S. businesses building up stocks of imported goods in anticipation of higher tariffs. However, activity is likely to weaken as the implementation of those U.S. tariffs weigh on demand for European exports for the remainder of the year, and heightened uncertainty chills investment and household spending. The 20-nation Eurozone's economy expanded 0.4% on quarter in the 3 months to March, faster than the 0.2% pace of the final quarter of 2024, the European Union's statistics agency Eurostat said Wednesday. Economists polled by the Wall Street Journal also expected to increase an increase of 0.2%. The uptick in activity came before the global economic outlook was unsettled by President Trump's announcement at the start of April that the U.S. would ramp up tariffs against economies worldwide. The U.S. gross domestic product is expected to slow in the first quarter in data released later Wednesday. In analyzed terms, the Eurozone expanded by 0.4%. The Trump administration at first placed a 20% tariff on all imports from the EU before suspending them for 90 days and instead holding them to a 10% universal tariff. However, a 25% duty remains on imports of cars, steel, and aluminum. President Trump said he aims to rebalance the U.S.'s trade deficit in goods with the EU, which reached $235.6 billion in 2024, according to the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. By contrast, the U.S. runs a large trade surplus in services with the EU. An increase in production to get ahead of tariffs helped support growth during the first quarter, but a weakening of U.S. demand for Eurozone goods from the start of April is expected to hamper growth during the remainder of 2025. Leading European goods exports to the U.S. include pharmaceuticals and machinery, but in-demand items also range from German cards to French champagne and Italian olive oil. Car giants Mercedes-Benz and Stellantis suspended their full-year guidance on Wednesday over the uncertainty caused by the tariffs. European Central Bank Executive Board Member Piero Cipollone said in a speech Tuesday that tariffs would be unambiguously recessionary. What we are experiencing is not merely a temporary disruption. It's a profound shift in how nations interact economically, financially, and diplomatically, he said. The ECB cut rates for a seventh time in 8 meetings earlier in April, as inflation continued to cool from the record highs prompted by the energy shock after Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. But it might do more to cushion the blow inflicted by higher tariffs and ensure inflation doesn't fall below its target as the economy cools. The International Monetary Fund last week trimmed its forecast for the Eurozone economy for this year on the back of the increased trade barriers, while the president of the Bundesbank, Joachim Nagel, said Germany risked a third consecutive year of contraction in a row. While German lawmakers recently agreed to rewrite the country's strict borrowing rules, allowing for unlimited borrowing for defense spending and an infrastructure fund worth up to 500 billion euros or 570 billion, it may take until next year to see that in rising GDP, economists said. Germany, the Eurozone's largest economy, grew 0.2% in the first quarter of 2025, reversing the 0.2% drop in the final quarter of last year, while France rose 0.1% with Italy and Spain faring better, expanding 0.3% and a 0.6% respectively. Ireland's growth of 3.2% was especially boosted by front-running U.S. tariffs. Indeed, the economy started the year on stronger footing than expected, and activity surveys suggested. Capital Economics senior Europe economist Frank Sica Palmas said in a note to clients, "Nevertheless, we still expect growth to slow sharply in the next 6 months as the U.S. tariffs introduced in April will hit activity," she noted. Any additional boost from Germany's recently agreed fiscal stimulus will likely be felt only late this year, while the blackouts that caused massive disruption in Spain this week could also hit growth there, Palmas added. Meanwhile, economic sentiment slumped in April as the bloc's businesses and consumers digested the new trade reality, according to European Commission data published earlier this week. While consumer sentiment had recovered at the start of the year, its lower inflation put more money in consumers' wallets. It turned back downward this month. ECB policymakers largely agree that higher U.S. tariffs will drive down inflation in the Eurozone, given the prospect of even weaker economic growth, a recently stronger euro, and the potential for goods to be redirected away from the U.S. to Europe from China at lowered prices. However, supply chain constraints as a result of the change in trade flows could raise inflationary pressures further down the line. Write to Ed Frankel at edward.frankel@wsj.com. Drug makers have spent millions targeting middlemen, and it's paying off. The pharmaceutical industry translated a wonky policy topic into a talking point repeated by a range of groups, by Josh Dowsey, Christina Peterson, and Maggie Severns. When President Trump signed an executive order this month to try to reduce drug prices, the pharmaceutical industry scored a big win. Within 90 days, the order said, Trump staff should put together a report reevaluating the role of middlemen who have been the target of one of the most sweeping and expensive lobbying campaigns in recent years. Trump's second term has upended the business of K Street, with many industries feeling left in the cold. An exception, the drug industry's campaign against so-called middlemen or pharmacy benefit managers, such as those owned by CVS Health and United Health Group, which manage prescription drug benefits for health insurers. Drug makers spent a record of $31 million to lobby in Washington last year, and about $13 million in the first quarter of 2025, according to public filings. Millions more went to donations to political groups and ads, many of which blamed benefit managers for the high price of drugs. Last year, executives at the drug industry trade group PHRMA told groups lobbyists that taking on the firms known as PBMs was a top priority in 2025. A lobbyist who attended the meeting said, "Drug executives spent much of their time in a million-dollar dinner with Trump, urging him to focus his criticism on benefit managers," according to people familiar with the matter. They have repeatedly talked to Trump with his top aides in recent months, and some are slated to be in the Oval Office on Wednesday. Pharmaceutical companies have been pretty successful in shifting a disproportionate amount of blame to the PBMs, said Steve Knivel, health policy expert with Public Citizen, a nonprofit consumer advocacy group. Rising healthcare costs have triggered the battle between the industry over who is to blame. Drug makers argue that the middlemen are at fault and profit from higher prices. The managers, in turn, say that pharmaceutical companies have set the list prices for drugs far too high, and that they have actually won billions of dollars in savings thanks to their efforts. A spokesman for Pharma said the group follows all disclosure rules and laws, and that the scrutiny of the managers was well deserved. The firms reduced access for patients while taking as much as 80% of the cost of medicines. Pharma's senior vice president, Alex Shriver, said, "Drug companies have spent big money to sow confusion and create diversions from the truth," said Katie Payne, senior vice president at the Pharmaceutical Care Management Association, a trade group for the benefit managers. She added that if drug companies lower their prices, consumers would pay less. Trump's drug pricing executive order also provided other wins for some pharmaceutical companies, among them a delay in the start date for some Medicare price negotiations. Trump's plan directs his administration to work with Congress to change the timing of the price negotiations for most pills and begin them in 13 years instead of 9, as they had been previously mandated. Pharma's targeting of middlemen predates the Trump administration and has taken several forms, including spending money to minority healthcare nonprofits, some of which then publicly attacked benefit managers. The group nets about $500 million each year and gives money to more than 100 nonprofits. In 2022, for example, the group contributed $25,000 to MANA, M-A-N-A, a national Latina organization, a nonprofit advocating for Latina women, and $270,000 to its political arm, the MANA Action Fund, as well as another $25,000 to the main nonprofit in 2023, the most recent year for which tax records are available. MANA led a coalition of dozens of groups called the Health Equity Collaborative, which was critical of PBMs in reports and big posts saying that they are at the center of this affordability crisis. Amy Hinojosa, chief executive of MANA, said high healthcare costs create a burden for Latina women. "We all have to pay our bills so that we do have corporate sponsorships, but those don't dictate the group's principles," she said. Those same years, Pharma gave $50,000 to a group called Black, Gifted, and Whole, which describes itself as a movement dedicated to transforming the collective narrative of the Black queer men. The group's CEO, Guy Anthony, wrote op-eds calling for changes to the system to curb abuses by benefit managers. "As a Black queer man living with HIV, it's fair to say that I take special interest in lawmakers' attempts to lower drug prices," he wrote in 2022. Anthony didn't respond to a request for comment. Pharma also gave more than $400,000 in those years to the National Hispanic Council on Aging and the National Minority Quality Forum, which released a poll in 2022 that found that nearly three-quarters of voters of color would support policies requiring benefits managers to pass on rebates or discounts on drug prices to patients. The groups, which didn't disclose the donations with the poll, didn't respond to requests for comment. Pharma's money has gone to both liberal and conservative groups. It gave millions to the Republican American Action Network and contributed $183,000 to American Commitment, a free market advocacy group. American Commitment launched a commitment to seniors paid media campaign last November, urging Congress to rein in pharmacy benefit managers. The group's leader, Phil Kirpin, said in a statement to the group, "Never deviates from free market principles based on contributions." The pharmaceutical industry has also sponsored influential media newsletters, parties, and other events in Washington, including around last week's White House Correspondents' Dinner. Pharma's ads pop up in Washington's main newsletter, Political Playbook, popular news outlets Axios and Punchbowl News, and the New York Times flagship daily podcast. When middlemen own it all, you lose, one ad says. The group also gave $1 million to Trump's inauguration, and several individual companies gave $1 million each, filing show, totaling more than $5 million for the industry to the inaugural. The industry also contributed to the president's private political committee, people familiar with the gifts said. The group retained a record 201 lobbyists last year, according to Open Secrets, a nonprofit that tracks money in politics. The industry will have to disclose its 2024 spending in a tax form later this year. The Benefit Managers Association also spent close to $18 million in 2024, more than double what it spent just 2 years ago, according to public records. That group also gave $1 million to Trump's inauguration, as did another group aligned with the benefit managers called Americans for Pharma Reform. Benefit managers and insurers are also trying other tactics. United Health Group's CEO announced in January that the company's PBM subsidiary will shift drug rebates it negotiates back to consumers by 2028, saying it will show that drug companies themselves are to blame for high drug prices. But when executives from the benefit managers had dinner with Trump last year, they were weeks behind the pharmaceutical industry. Some longtime Washington lobbyists have been amazed at the flood of spending by drug makers in Washington, a place where industries frequently spend big. There are very few people who can turn these complicated issues like PBMs into good messaging, says Sam Goodling, a prominent Republican lobbyist. They're trying it all out, he said. Write to Josh Dowsey at joshua.dowsey@wsj.com, Christina Peterson at christina.peterson@wsj.com, and Maggie Severns at maggie.severns@wsj.com. And now for some opinion articles. Trump hemorrhages support 100 days in. Even many Americans who agree with his goals disapprove of some of his methods, by William A. Galston. Whatever one may think of President Trump's second-term agenda, its implementation during his first 100 days has been a political failure from which he will have difficulty recovering. During his first week in office, he enjoyed a 50.5% approval rating, compared with 44.3% disapproval. Notably, his disapproval rating stood 4 points lower than the share of the vote Kamala Harris received in November 2024, suggesting that some of the voters who opposed his election were willing to give him a chance to prove himself. Much has changed in the past 3 months. Mr. Trump's job approval in the Real Clear Politics average now stands at 45.3%, a 5.2-point decline, while his disapproval has soared by 8.1 points to 52.4%. This gives him a margin minus 7.1 points, a total negative swing of 13.3 points since the beginning of his term. Many voters who were on the fence in January have joined his opponent's ranks. Although the decline in the president's standing includes some of his core supporters, Republicans, conservatives, and men, it has been especially sharp during the swing among the swing voters who put him over the top last November. Since his first week in office, his approval has declined by 10 points among Hispanics, 11 points among independents, 12 points among moderates, and 15 points among voters under 30. His average disapproval among these groups has surged from 45% at the beginning of his term to 60%. These declines represent disappointment with Mr. Trump's performance so far. Only 31% of registered voters polled said he's doing better than expected, compared with 47% who said he's doing worse. By substantial margins, they say the president has harmed both the U.S. economy and America's standing in the world. Mr. Trump's trade policies, of which Americans disapprove by wide margins, have damaged his reputation as an effective economic manager. 74% believe his tariffs will raise prices, and half the country rejects his assertion that the short-term pain will yield long-term gains. For even on handling illegal immigration, where Mr. Trump receives his highest marks, support for his policies is declining and public concerns are rising. A plurality of Americans think that his deportations have gone too far and regard his approach as too harsh. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans think his administration is making mistakes in carrying out his deportation policies, and by a margin of nearly 2 to 1, they think the administration is disobeying court orders. Concerning the highly publicized case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, who is mistakenly deported to a high-security prison in El Salvador, 53% of registered voters polled say that he should be returned to the U.S. Only 30% say he shouldn't. Many Americans disagree with Mr. Trump's goals, but even those who agree with them believe that his administration is going too far, too fast, without regard for the law. 66% of Americans polled describe his administration as chaotic. They're troubled by his administration's chainsaw approach to implementing policies. By a margin of 4 to 1, they want a government that solves problems carefully while minimizing mistakes. Even if this means proceeding more slowly than would be the case if collateral damage were ignored. Americans don't believe that the administration should ignore Supreme Court rulings, eliminate programs enacted by Congress, or impose tariffs without congressional authorization. Due process may sound abstract, of concern only to lawyers and educated elites, but Americans understand and support it. By large majorities, they believe that green card holders and other legal residents are entitled to broad procedural protections, including the right to be informed of the charges against them, to have a fair trial, to present a defense, and to appeal court decisions. They even support certain protections for illegal immigrants. 57% say the government should be allowed to deport them only if evidence is presented and evaluated in a hearing. The Trump administration regards these protections as unduly constraining, but the American people prefer fairness to speed. The administration seems determined to press ahead, but if it does, public opposition could stiffen further. Already, 54% of Americans believe that Mr. Trump is exceeding his legal and constitutional powers. The president and his advisors have trouble making the transition from campaigning to governing. The broad brushstrokes and unyielding rhetoric that excite the MAGA faithful at rallies don't translate well into the execution of public policy within the bounds of the law. The next 100 days will show whether Mr. Trump is capable of adjusting the substance and tone of his policies in response to rising doubts over his presidency. That brings us to the end of today's edition of the Wall Street Journal. I'm Joanne Lowney, your volunteer broadcaster on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Stay tuned for more interesting programs on Sun Sounds.